This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you all for joining. Obviously, it's the VAC, so I know a lot of people are tuning in from home, so thank you for making the time to join today. Obviously, the purpose of this talk today, alhamdulillah, you know, we're very blessed to have Sheikh Riyad here you know, online to deliver this talk for us today. Of course, we're joining to, because it's tomorrow, potentially, it's the start of Ramadan. Obviously, Ramadan's come so quickly. SubhanAllah, I remember the last one. It's come, the year's gone by so quick, but, you know, SubhanAllah, we're almost at another Ramadan. But, you know, sometimes when a lot of people, you know, ask us, you know, what is Ramadan, especially non-Muslims, you know, often the result, the answer is, you know, oh, it's a month where, you know, we fast, we don't eat or drink water. We don't eat or drink water from break of dawn to sunset. But, you know, SubhanAllah, Ramadan is much more than that. You know, it's a month full of virtue and full of rewards. And it's a month where, you know, there's so much blessings in it. And it's a great opportunity for us. So the purpose of today is obviously to learn a little bit more about Ramadan, the virtues, the value of the month, and what we can do to sort of maximize our reward. So with that, I will pass it over to Sheikh Riyad. And inshallah, we'll all be able to benefit and take something from it today, inshallah.
Barakallahu feek. جزاكم الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن رين الذنوب ومطرارة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What is Ramadan really about? The answer to this question might seem obvious to most of us. And if we were to ask people what Ramadan is really about, then the majority of us will give the textbook answer, the answer that we find on the tongue of everyone. Ramadan is a month of fasting, it's forgiveness, taraweeh, etc. But if we attempt to ascertain the answer to this question through the behavior of people in Ramadan, instead of their statements about it, through their behavior, by looking at the way we allocate time and the way we allocate resources, then we find that there is a whole range of understandings and perceptions of Ramadan. Because just knowing the correct answer of and what is perceived of that particular question in the heart are entirely two different things. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ilmu ilman, that knowledge are of two types, ilmun ala al-lisan wa ilmun fil qalb, that knowledge on the tongue and knowledge in the heart. And the knowledge on the tongue is proof against you. Hujjatullahi ala ibadihi, that it is. But the true knowledge, ilm al-nafi', is the knowledge, that the beneficial knowledge is the knowledge in the heart. And as we know, people are prone to acting on the basis of what is in the heart. The heart is what dictates. Whatever we have in the heart, that will influence our behavior. Now, Ramadan in the modern world can be, as I said, a whole host of different things to different people. Some people see it primarily as an opportunity to lose weight. And for others, it's a business opportunity. For some, it's the Muslim equivalent to festivities, to Christmas festivities, or a time for celebration and merrymaking. As we see in the Arab world today, is that it has become a, Ramadan is an opportunity for seeing new TV dramas. Even the word Ramadan is being used as an adjective for drama. Na'udhu billah, drama Ramadaniya, astaghfirullah. And of course, there are those who see it as an opportunity to gain forgiveness and closeness to Allah. But together with that, we also find these people also see Ramadan as a season for serial feasts. Instead of a month of fast, it becomes a month of feasts. The feast was supposed to come at the end of the month, as in Eid, but now every day of the month is a day of feasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَتُرُكُ طَعَامَهُ, that when he praises the one who fasts, he says يَتُرُكُ طَعَامَهُ, that he leaves his food. He leaves, and for that I will give a special reward, that special joy that he will get from seeing my reward. يَتُرُكُ طَعَامَهُ وَشَهَارَبُهُ لِي, that he leaves. The word يَتُرُك, he leaves, he abandons, he gives up. He leaves his food. It's not just a mealtime rearrangement exercise, where before Ramadan we used to eat three times a day, and now in Ramadan we will switch to eating four times a night, and probably with double the calories. That's not what yatruk means, what he leaves his food. As for the hadith which says that the sustenance of the believer is increased in Ramadan, which is the hadith, the only hadith we seem to remember about Ramadan, we need to ponder on what is the purpose of this hadith. What are we being told here? Is it to facilitate more indulgence in gluttony, or is it to facilitate generosity? Did the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eat more in Ramadan, or did he give away more food in Ramadan? Of course, he gave more. He gave away more. He gave more charity in Ramadan. As we are told in hadith, it's kana ajwadun nas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people. Wa kana ajwadu ma yakun fi Ramadan. And he used to be most generous in Ramadan. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be like rih al mursal, like the wind, like a pleasant wind that is blowing and bringing gifts one after the other. That is how generous he was. That is how it is described. Now, this idea of increasing our socializing and partying in Ramadan is sadly a result of something called the perky effect, where we merge perceptions of two familiar phenomena seamlessly without realizing that we are doing it. And living as we do in this society, we have a high degree of familiarity with Christmas festivities, Christmas dinners, Christmas socials. And by seeing Ramadan as the Muslim equivalent to these festivities in some way or another, we can end up merging elements of one into the other without realizing it. In fact, the mere idea of increasing our food content and our socializing in Ramadan is in direct contrast with the spirit of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month in which i'tikaf is prescribed. I'tikaf is seclusion, secluding yourself away from the world in the house of Allah, with Allah, and khulwatu ma'allah, khulwatu ma'allah. The Salaf al-Salih, the pious people in the past, they used to bid farewell to their friends and families and acquaintances in Ramadan to mark their seclusion for Quran and dhikr and Quran. As one scholar he explains, أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُوَدِّعُونَ بَعْضَهُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ رَمَضَانِ بِسَبَبِ إِنْشِغَالِهِمْ بِأَعْمَالِ. They used to bid farewell to their acquaintances. Now, I'm not saying that you should cancel your ISAF iftars and your iftars in the mosque, which is sunnah, and students are poor anyway. So Sayyidina, the great Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to go and break his fast with the poor people. And if someone came and said, give me your food, he would give it to him. But to come back to the question, If we look at the Quran and the Sunnah for an answer to this question, that what is Ramadan really about, what we find is that it is primarily about two things. Ramadan is primarily about two things. It is about curing the heart of clutter and disease, and two, training the heart for consciousness and closeness to Allah, for a consciousness of closeness to Allah. These curing the heart and training the heart. It is all about the heart. Now, why does the heart need curing? We find that the curing for the heart, this focus on the need to cleanse the heart and begin to focus on the heart, this starts before Ramadan. And you might have heard the hadith earlier in the month, in this month we are in Shaban, that the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the entire creation. يَطَّلْعُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ نِصْفٍ مِّن شَعْبَانٍ. In the middle of the month of Shaban, he looks at all his creatures. And then فَيَغْفِرُ لِجَمِيعٍ. And then he looks at them with mercy and with compassion and with forgiveness. And he forgives, except two categories. One was لِلْمُشْرِكْ وَالْمُشَاحِنْ. وَالْمُشَاحِنْ. The mushrik is the one who ascribe partners to Allah, the one who worship others than Allah. And the other is mushahin. Al-mushahin is the one who has ill will, who has malice in his heart, hatred in his heart for people. That person who has these ill characteristics, who has ill feelings towards people, he is supposed to cleanse it. So the warning is to wipe your heart, wipe your slate clean, try to work on emptying the heart, the spring cleaning, clean the heart. For these bounties to come in, for the training to come into the heart, we need a cleansing. So the cleansing starts early, 15 days before Ramadan. He's saying that you have to do that before then, because then you will start to gain forgiveness. We need to cleanse the heart before these encrustations, fluctuations, diversions, distractions take over the heart. Because the heart is prone to rawagan. Yes, this is... The heart is prone to rawagan. Ramadan is here to help us with rawagan, which is a new word. You might not have heard this word before. That it's a new Arabic word. You need to learn this word. It is a word that describes with precision the mindset of modern human beings. Rawagan. Now let me explain. A companion of the Prophet ﷺ asked him for the key to success in Islam. In these words, he says, "Quli ya Rasulullah." This he said, "Qultu ya Rasulullah, qulli fil Islam qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadan ghayrak." That tell me something. Tell me the key about Islam. Tell me something. Give me Islam that I will not need to ask anyone else. I cannot ask anyone else about it, because this that you will give me will be a key. It will be a succinct but an advice that I can carry with me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah. And in other words, establish your iman, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Then be steadfast. Istiqama. Now, istiqama is a vast. It includes all the things that you need to do, but remaining steadfast on it. Steadfastness is the true meaning of this. To be steadfast, as we are told in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. So remain on the right course, remain steadfast as you have been commanded. You and those who have turned back with you to Allah, and do not transgress. Indeed, He is seeing what you do. Allah is observing you, and do not be inclined to those who have done wrong. This is a very important statement. This is a very important warning. We don't take the guidance from others. We take it from Allah. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Do not be inclined to those who have done wrong, lest the fire may touch you. So what is istiqama? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu explains it, and he says, al-istiqama an tastaqima ala al-amri wa nahi, that you should, istiqama is to remain firm, is to remain steadfast in the prohibitions, in the command, following the commands and the prohibitions, وَلَا تَرُوغُوا رَوَغَانَ الثَّعَالِبِ وَلَا تَرُوغُوا رَوَغَانَ الثَّعَالِبِ And that you should not swerve like the swerving of the fox. Now, if you've ever seen a fox running at night, you would have seen that it never runs in a straight line. It is always changing directions based on which whiff of smell it picks up. Sometimes left, right, 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 left, left, and in all different directions. In other words, the navigation system of a fox is muddled. This is this fluctuation, this moving from right to left and left, left, left and right. You can be easily dragged. This characteristic is known as rawagan, that you're dragged into multiple directions. Now, for people in the olden days, this was in the context of mainly for engaging and thinking about the lives of others you meet in the marketplace, that people you meet in the market. This is where the rawagan used to take place. But nowadays, in the modern world, people's minds are in a constant frenzy as a result of being hooked on social media, where every tweet, every post drags the mind off into a new direction, a new stream of thought. Even before you've had time to settle the previous thought, your mind is kept in a constant frenzy, catapulted in disparate directions with unconnected content, like a ragdoll in the mouth of a frantic wild animal. Now, this condition of rudderless fluctuation and oscillation is called rawagan, which is the opposite to istiqama, which is this strong sense of direction. A person with istiqama has strong sense of direction. A mind and a heart that is subject to a persistent rawagan loses its bearing and forgets where it's going. And another consequence to this is that the heart suffers. The ill effects of being dragged around persistently can often result in the hardening and the encrusting of the incrustation on the heart, like the rusting of iron when water and wind touch it, so it's left exposed to wind and water. And as we know in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna hadhihi al-quluba tafda," that verily these hearts rust, they become encrusted, kama yasda'u al-hadid idha asabahu al-ma, that if it's left exposed to water, iron rusts, and so does the heart. He's saying if you're left outside, then, and the Sahaba asked him, qila ya Rasulullah ma jila'uha, that what is the curing of this? What is the curing of such a heart? And in response, he said, كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ أو كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ وَكَثْرَةُ تِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ, that the curing of it, the polishing of it, the curing of the heart is in great amount of remembrance of death, remembering of your direction, where you're heading, and great, great amounts of recitation of the Qur'an. And Allah tells us, there's a reinforcement of this in the Qur'an, where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ O mankind, there has come to you an instruction from your Lord, a healing for that which is in your breast. That is in your chest, your heart, in other words, guidance and the mercy for the believers, and say in the bounty of Allah and in the mercy and in his mercy, in that, let them rejoice. It is better than what you accumulate, what you gather. So the Quran, as a cure for what is in the breast, in other words, what is in the heart, this is the curing, the prescription given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for incrustations on the heart were two. Kathratu dhikri al-maut wa tilawatul Quran. The great amount of remembrance of death and recitation of Quran. And I want to ponder on these two prescriptions. We'll take them in reverse order. Let's talk about recitation of Quran first. What was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam during Ramadan? Ramadan, as we know, is the month of Quran. The Quran was revealed in this month. It was from the highest heaven to Sama al-Dunya, the heaven of this world. And then from there, piecemeal in 23 years. But the month in which this Quran was revealed was also the month in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to revise. He used to recite the Quran with Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, used to come and he used to recite the Quran. He used to read the Quran. He used to revise it with Jibreel, and the Sahaba followed this practice. First by reciting it, they recite it in Taraweeh, and also by reciting Quran especially in this month. This practice of cleaning the heart and polishing the heart in Ramadan through the recitation of Quran in abundance can be observed among the pious throughout our history. Wherever you look in our history, you will find it. Look at the lives of any of the famous scholars and you will find them reciting Quran extensively in Ramadan. Because why? Why did they do this? They understood something about the effect of Quran on the heart, especially in Ramadan. Take two examples. Take the example of the well-known scholar who we like to quote, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi. What was his routine in Ramadan? He used to complete one recitation of the entire Quran every day in Ramadan. Yes, the entire Quran, he would read it every single day in Ramadan. And then we have even more than that. Imam Shafi'i, who we know is the head of the Shafi'i school, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to recite one khatam in the Taraweeh, that is for the whole month. And in addition to that, he would complete 60 recitations of the Quran, 60 entire Quran in the month of Ramadan. And like these scholars, there are many, many examples, many, people who read the Quran in one night. I know of several colleagues in India where I was studying who would read the entire Quran in tahajjud, the entire Quran in one rak'ah, and Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad in the second rak'ah. And please do not let shaitan come and start whispering into your mind now, because there is a hadith that says that we should not complete the Quran in less than 3 days. But the scholars have explained this. They've made it clear what was meant there. That was meant, and I have the explanation, the quote of Imam Ibn Rajab, rahmatullah alayhi. He says, وَإِنَّمَا وَرَضَ النَّهِيَ عَنْ قِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي أَقَلِّ مِنْ ثَلَاثْ عَلَى الْمُدَّاوَمَةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said that this prohibition is for doing it continuously like this all through the year. فَأَمَّا فِي الْأَوْقَاتِ الْمُفَضَّلَةِ. As for special occasions, the blessed occasions, كشهر رمضان خصوصا, especially in the month of Ramadan, الليالي التي يطلب فيها ليلة القدر, the nights in which you are seeking ليلة القدر, then, أو في مكان, في أماكن المفضلة كمكة لمن دخلها من غير أهلها, فيستحب الإكثار فيها من تلاوة القرآن اغتناما للزمان والمكان. That he's saying that for special places, for special times, as if you are going to Mecca and you do not live in Mecca, but you're in that place, then it is preferable, it is desirable to read lots of Quran. And this hadith does not apply for those special moments. So polishing the heart with an abundance of recitation of the Quran in Ramadan is one of the ways of curing the heart of its incrustations, of its rust, of its qaswa, of its hardening, of its rawagan. Now, I'm not asking you to follow the example of Imam Bukhari and Imam Shafi'i, but you can make effort to read at least one juz every day in Ramadan, one or two juz, and so that you can continue with that pattern after Ramadan. The one juz a day pattern can easily be followed. It will take 10 minutes after every salah, and you will easily cover a juz in the day. 5 daily prayer, and after you set aside 10 minutes after every salah, and you will finish a juz. That was as far as the polishing, using Quran for the polishing, this month of Ramadan, which is the month of Quran, for polishing the heart, for curing the heart. The other is dhikril maut. Dhikril maut is the remembrance, the curing of the heart is to increase sense of journey, the sense of going back to Allah, sense of direction. And for this, the experience we have had over the last 2.5 years with the COVID pandemic is useful. Useful to think about it. First, when we heard about the virus, when it was far away in China, then we were indifferent to it. We didn't say, okay, well, it's there. Yeah, fine. But as it got closer and closer, that sense of danger increased in our hearts. Our behavior began to change as the sense of danger increased. It started to influence behavior. First, we began by washing hands. Then, as the danger got even closer, we decided that we engaged in social distancing. And as the sense, we start sensing the danger is even more than people wore masks. In the beginning, they said no, masks was not allowed, what was not necessary. But as the danger increased, the behavior changed. And eventually we started taking vaccinations, inoculations. Now, inoculations, vaccine, the word for vaccine in Arabic is wiqaya. Yes, is actually taqwa. Wiqaya is from the same root as taqwa, waqayaqi. In fact, one of the explanations of taqwa that the ulama gave is أن تجعل بينك وبين عذاب الله وقاية, that you should place place between you and the punishment of Allah a wiqaya, a shield, a protection, a barrier. And that's the same word that is used for wiqaya, for vaccination, for inoculation. The place between you and the punishment of Allah, a shield, a barrier. So the point being is that protective behavior in the heart from the dangers of the next life lies in an apprehension of the imminence of death, i.e. the ever-present danger of death. We are all travelers in this world. Every life is a journey. We are all travelers. In the words of the Prophet ﷺ describing his own life, his life was magnificent, was the most magnificent life on the face of this planet. And this is not my verdict. This is the verdict of historians who are studying Rasulullah, who studied his life. And they contemplated him among all the famous people in the world. And they came up with a conclusion that he was the most influential person in all of history, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That life, when he describes it, how did he do it? How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe it? He said, ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استضل بشجرة استضل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها. That my life in this world is nothing more than like a traveler who took rest under a tree for a little while and then he got up and moved on. That's how he described his life. So what about our insignificant lives? What about our lives, our short lives? No one can claim that death will not get them. That there's no possibility that death will find them. Allah warns us in the Quran, and He says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, wa nabluukum bish-sharri wal-khayri fitnatan, wa ilayna turja'oon." That every soul shall taste of death, and we will test you, and we test you with evil and good as trial, and to us is your return. So not only your hardships are tests, but your good times, your good fortunes, your happiness is also a test. This is the world. This world is Darul Bala. It is the abode of test. So we should not be deceived into thinking that, oh, people who are disobeying Allah are still having a good time in this world and they're actually getting away with their disobedience. No. Allah tells us very clearly in the Quran. He says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. That so when they forgot what they were reminded of, what they were commanded to do, when they forgot all the guidance that we send, and they rebelled against everything, then فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that we opened the doors of every good thing to them. They will enjoy life in this world. And when they rejoice, he said, حَتَّى إِذَا فَرَحُوا, they will rejoice in what they were given, and then we seize them suddenly. We will seize them. فَأَخْذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. We will seize them suddenly, and then they will be in despair. All the riches in the world could not purchase an extension of even 1 minute to the time of death, which is booked. The time of death is booked. The date is booked. The place of departure is booked. The cabin crew is booked. The crew in the cabin of the grave who will ask piercing questions about, who is your Lord? Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? What is your religion? Ma Dinuk, who is your Prophet? Man Nabiyuk. Now, if we have lived a life in recognizing Allah, in recognition of Allah as our Creator, in recognition of the fact that Allah is seeing us and all-knowing of what we do, and acted on His command and on His guidance, then inshallah we'll be able to give the right answers. But if we fail at the first hurdle, then what happens? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu used to cry when he passed the grave, and they asked him, they said, hey, we see you mentioned Jannah, Jahannam, you mentioned hell and all other things, but you don't cry, but when you come to the grave you cry so much, what makes you cry? And he said that إن القبر أول منزل من منازل الآخرة فإن نجا منه فما بعده أيسر منه. That the grave is the first hurdle, is the first stage of the stages of the Akhirah. So if someone is successful at this first stage, at this first hurdle, then whatever comes after it is easier, will be easier and easier and easier. وَإِن لَمْ يَنْجُوا مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدُهُ أَشَدَّ مِنْ. That where, but if he fails at the first hurdle, then everything that comes after it is worse. So apprehending that sense of danger is one of the ways of ensuring a change in our behavior and an acceptance of the need for wiqaya, the need for taqwa. Thinking of the imminence of death, the imminence of death, and not being deluded like the person on the platform of the train station who forgets about his journey and the things that he will need on the journey, like his luggage and his money and his provision. And instead, he decides to focus all his attention on redecorating the waiting room on the platform. When the train comes and the officer says, "You must board and you have no choice," then he will not be able to say, "Oh, give me some time to prepare my luggage or to prepare my provision for the journey." Allah reminds us of this scenario in the Quran. He says, وَأَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. He said, spend in the way of Allah from what we have given you. Spend your time and your wealth, what you have been given, before death comes to you. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. And he will say what? Oh my Lord, only if you delay me for a brief moment. Just a little bit. فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That I will give lots of charity and I will now become pious. But وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. But Allah will never delay the soul when its time has come. And Allah, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is fully acquainted with what you do. The provisions, the things we need on our journey is called Zad in Arabic. And Allah reminds us in Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That prepare your Zad, prepare your provision, and the best of provision, equip the best of provision you can prepare for your journey is taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And the best provision, so fear me, the best provision that you can have on this journey, the best provision for coming back to me, that best thing that you can have on your journey will be taqwa. So taqwa, the reason for which fasting is prescribed, is the best provision for our journey back to Allah. The best provision in the preparation for death. The remembering of death is a curing and a polishing of the heart. And so here is the connection between Ramadan, fasting, taqwa, remembering death, and polishing of the heart. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was asked, what is taqwa? And he said, taqwa is al-khawfu min al-jaleel, wal-amalu bil-tanzeel, wal-ridha bil-qaleel, wal-isti'dadu li-yawm al-raheem. That taqwa is having true fear and consciousness of Allah, having Allah in front of you, that consciousness of Allah, that Allah is watching me in everything I do. Allah sees what I do. Allah sees with what intention I do. Allah sees for what motive I do things. Allah knows. So have that fear, have that consciousness, have that heart that is thinking about that rather than thinking about all the rawagan, the dragging in all different directions and thinking about other stuff. That's the first. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. Wal-amalu bit-tanzeel. An obedience to the commands of the book. Because this book is your savior. This book has all the guidance that you need. So al-amalu bit-tanzeel. And then, wal-ridha bil-qaleel. Then, because the thing that makes you divert, the things that is that we seek more and more of the world. So he's saying ridha bil qaleel is having ridha, having contentment, having to be contented with whatever Allah has given you, whatever little you have been given in this world. This world is little, everything in it is little. And then finally, wal isti'dadu li yawm ar-rahil, and it is preparation for the day of your departure. Preparation for your departure is taqwa. That is, so the link here is that preparation for your departure, that is part of taqwa. So think about how many people were with us last Ramadan who thought that they would live to see many more Ramadans ahead of them. but their time came. Now, we have no way of knowing. May Allah forgive them all and raise their status and give them Jannatul Firdaus, all of our friends and families who have passed away within the last year. But we have no way of knowing also if we will live to see another Ramadan. We need to make the most of this Ramadan. Umar radiallahu anhu once asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, what is taqwa? And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ama salakta tariqan fihi jawq? That, leader of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you not traversed a path with thorns in it? Have you not walked in a place where there are lots of thorns? And he said, yes, of course. What did you do? And then Umar said that I أشمر عن ساقي وأنظر إلى مواضع قدماي وأقدم قدما مؤخر قدما مخافة أن تصيبني شوق. He said that I gather my clothes. I pull my clothes up. I gather them close to me. Look very carefully where I put my foot. I step forward with one foot and I step aside. I step backwards to avoid being pierced by the thorns. And then when he heard this, Ubay ibn Ka'b, who was a very intelligent Sahaba, very knowledgeable Sahaba, he said, Tilka hiya taqwa. That is taqwa. That what you were doing is taqwa. You are being how? Having a sense of the dangers around you, the dangers of the thorns that are trying to pierce your mind and pierce your heart to drag it helter-skelter in all different directions is taqwa. Having that sense of danger, having a sense of journey, looking where he is going, where there's caution, and with every step you're cautious and be careful where you place yourself. That is also taqwa. Ramadan is about disconnecting from the clutter, is about disconnecting from the clutter of interactions, the rising above the deluge of worldly pursuits. It is a release from encrustations of the heart that pile up over our interactions, over our social interactions, our worldly distractions. Ramadan is about reconnecting the heart. It's about reconnecting the sense of the journey towards Allah, training the heart to be focused on the fact that Allah is seeing you. Allah, in His infinite mercy and compassion, created a controlled environment for this training, better than anyone would, even for a child. When you're training a child a new skill, you control the environment. You make sure that they do not have, the challenge is not too big. Allah is concerned about our hearts. Allah is concerned about your heart. We should be concerned about our own hearts. The devils are chained. The gates of heaven are flung open in Ramadan. The gates of hell are slammed shut. And there is an extra pouring of countless mercies and offerings of forgiveness. His love and care for our hearts can even be seen in the language he uses to convey his command for fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Lord and sustainer of the worlds, creator of the heavens and the earth. He has the might and the right to issue plain and direct commands. He does not need to take into consideration what we are feeling. He has power and control and ownership of us, of everything we do and of all that we own. He can order us and we must obey. He says, kun fayakun, be and it is. Yet, when it comes to Ramadan and ordering us to fast, how does he speak to us? He addresses the topic with the softest of language, full of love and compassion and care for our heart. First, to make it soft and easy for us to take it. He knows he's caring for our heart. He sees, he's looking, he's saying to understand, he's explaining, as if to say, do not feel that you're being picked upon, that you're the only one who's having to fast. He's saying that I prescribed it on those before you. You know, my teacher, Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Rahmatullah Alayhi, he commenting on this verse, on these verses, he says, ليست هذه الآية التي ضمنت وجوب الصوم تشريعا جافا مجردا كالقوانين والمراسيم العادية التي لا تعتمد إلا على الرابط السياسية والاجتماعية التي تقوم بين الفرد والحكومة. That they said that these verses, which include the command of fasting, are not mere dry legal orders like the language of government legislation that focuses only on the links between policy and society, And it has no concern. It has no reference or concern for how you will feel about it or what your heart. But he's saying in regard to this, he says, "Inna hadhihi al-ayat," but these verses, bil-aksi min dalik, that these verses are on the contrary to that. Even though it's a legal ruling, it's giving you orders, it's a command. But these verses, he's saying, tukhatibu, that bil-aksi min dalik. تخاطب الإيمان والعقيدة والعقل والضمير والقلب والعاطفة في وقت واحد. That these verses, they speak to the faith, they speak to faith, belief, they speak to mind, they speak to conscience, they speak to heart, and your emotions all in one. He said, وتثير كل ذلك وتغذي كل ذلك, that it's feeding all the needs, all in one. And by so doing, he said, and in this that he says, وهكذا تهيئ الجو لقبول لهذا التشريع وإصاغته بل للترحيب والاستقبال واستقباله بنشاط وحماس. That he says that it feeds, that these verses are so concerned, that Allah is caring so much for your heart and for your feelings, that he's feeding all your needs and doing it in such a grand way, so that you, he's laying the groundwork for you for acceptance and for following the command, and even for welcoming it with zeal and joy. And this, he says, this ayatun, that this is innaha ayatun fil i'jaz, that this is a mark of inimitability of the Quran, and it's ayatun fi fiqh al-da'wa, that it's an example of the fiqh, of the jurisprudence of calling people to Islam. He said that it's an ayatun fi ilm al-nafs, that it's a reference for the understanding of human psychology. وَآيَةٌ فِي تَشْرِيعِ الْحَكِيمِ, and it's an example of wise prescription. And then he goes on, he says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ إِمْتِحَانًا فَقَطْ, and then Allah is explaining further. He's saying that, look, this is not just a test. وَلَا مَشَقَّةً لَيْسَ وَرَأَهَا قَصْد, and he says that this is not just for putting you in mirror, it's not just for putting you in difficulty without a goal behind it. He's saying, إِنَّهُ رياضة وتربية وإصلاح وتزكية ومدرسة خلقية ومدرسة خلقية. That this, that it is not, it's not merely a test, but it is to put you in, it is not to put you in difficulty without a goal behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that it is, that this fasting is an exercise, it's a training, it's a correction, it's a curing, it's a schooling in good conduct and character, for which you will graduate. He said, from which you will graduate. يتخرج فيها الإنسان فاضلا كاملا. That you will graduate with virtue and capacity. زمامه بيده يملك نفسه وشهوته وشهواته يملك نفسه وشهواته لا تملكه. That you will have control over your own reins, your own, you will learn to control your desires instead of being in the control of it, being in control of your desires. You will control. He's saying, and it goes on. He says that you لو استطاع إضراب عن لو استطاع الإضراب عن المباحات والطيبات فقوي على ترك الممنوعات والمحرمات. That when you have control, after being trained to resist and avoid things that are normally permitted, that are normally good and permitted, like your food and your water, etc., you will be strengthened in your ability to resist and to avoid the haram. He said, فَكَيْفَ يَقْرُبُ الْحَرَامِ, that how a person, when you are trained, you'll be trained for this. So leaving the bad things. تَرْكُ الدُّنُوبِ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا is a definition of taqwa. Leaving of sins is a definition of taqwa. Like Ibn al-Mu'taz says, خَلِّ الدُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التَّقْوَى. Leave, he said, avoid all sins, small and big of it is taqwa. Leaving, avoiding all sins, small and big of it. خَلِّ الدُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا فَهُوَ التَّقْوَى. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. And be as a walker upon a thorny ground. Be as a walker upon a thorny ground, cautious of everything before it, whatever you see. So, and then Imam Abu al-Hasan rahmatullah alayhi goes on, he says that, look, وَلَا تَهَوِّلَنَّكَ عِدَّةَ الشَّهَرِ وَثِقْلَهُنَّ. And Allah is then again addressing it, but trying to make sure that you don't feel overwhelmed. Then Allah is softening it further, and he's saying, that you should not take, you should not, that, look, this is, it is only ayyam ma'dudat. It's, don't let it, you don't have to feel that it's long and heavy burden, unending. He's saying ayyam ma'dudat. It's only a few days, only a few days. Ayyam ma'dudat, a few days, just a few days. Then you have the rest of the year to eat whenever you want. And also, don't feel that you have to do it. And then it goes on. Allah is again going on. He says that, look, ayyam ma'dudat, and then that you'll do it for a little while, and then yustasna an hadha at-taklif an al-mariid wal-musafir wa man ya'jiz anhu, that if you're ill, then he says that, look, if you're ill, then you do not have to do it. And if you're traveling, you do not have to do it. If you're incapable, you do not have to do it. Thumma dhakara fadla shahr al-shahr. And then Allah goes on in these verses and says, he's telling you about the virtue of this month. He says, al-month alladhi, this month in which the fasting is prescribed, bi-annahu shahrun nazala fihi al-Qur'an, that the Qur'an was revealed. And what a momentous moment was that? That was a moment, kana ba'than jadidan lil-jil al-insani. It was new life. It was a revival. It was a renewal, with a renewal of hope for mankind. That was what happened in this month with the arrival of the Quran. That is reminding us that this month of Quran, this is the month of Quran, just as the Quran renewed the guidance to mankind. وَمَبْدَوْ حَيَاتٍ جَدِيدٍ لِنَوْعِ الْبَشَرِ, that it's the basis for a new type of human being, a human being that recognizes Allah. He says that so it is, that this renewal and this genuine spiritual life on the face of the planet was revived with the arrival of the Quran. So for a Muslim, should this month be to renew and revive your iman, to revive your inner spiritual self, to revive your heart through siyam and qiyam and Quran. And then Allah reassures us again that he wants ease for us, and that he does not want us to put us into difficulty. What does he say? Yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusr, that Allah wants ease for you. La yuridu bikum al-usr. And here you see the compassionate language emerging with caring for your heart. Allah is caring for your heart. That is why he's saying, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ, that he wants it for, how you will feel about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this training season for us as easy as it can be, in both the language he uses and also through the many favors and gifts, extra gifts that he offers you in Ramadan. He gives you the gift of protection from shaitan by chaining the devils. He gives you the gift of Rayyan, the special door in which you will be allowed to enter paradise. He gives you the gift of two joys, joy in breaking the fast, and the joy on the day of judgment when you meet Allah and get that special reward. It will be the day, the gift of barakah in suhoor, the gift of gaining special bounty, special gift, special blessings in the morning meal, the increase of reward, the gift of increase in reward, the gift of full forgiveness, the gift of time. Yes, the gift of time in a world that is time famished. Everyone today is suffering from a shortage of time. And here Allah is offering you the possibility, offering you the opportunity for 82 years to be added to your life. That is, 82 years of worship can be added to your book of deeds. All you have to do is spend the nights doing the right thing. Instead of gaming and TV drama and feasting and socializing, we need to spend these nights with qiyam, with Quran, with dua, with dhikr on the tongue, with fikr in the heart, which will secure you Laylatul Qadr if you spend the nights correctly. When we ask, if you are seeking a favor from someone, if you're seeking a favor and you go and it's a big favor, there's usually a hesitancy in the heart to say, well, I'm not sure if I should ask for such a big favor. Will he give it? Will he not? Will he respond favorably? And Allah knows this. This is natural human reaction in the heart. So Allah is telling you that if you find Laylatul Qadr in the nights of Laylatul Qadr, or in the nights where Laylatul Qadr is possible, when you're praying, what he've instructed us with a dua to say. What is the dua? Said, Allahumma innaka afuun, that you are the forgiver, you forgive. Innaka afuun kareem, tuhibbul afwa, you are kind, and tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, that you love to forgive, please forgive me. Now, who are we saying, why are we saying this? by being instructed to say, you love to forgive. We love to forgive. Did Allah forget that he loves to forgive, that we have to remind him? Allah doesn't forget. Allah did not forget that Allah did not forget that he is loving. It is we who are being reminded in this sentence that, look, Allah loves to forgive. So here again, he is looking at what would create hesitancy in our heart to ask for forgiveness, to ask, to seek that forgiveness. And so he's reminding us, he's making us repeat that sentence, that Allah loves to forgive, so that when we ask it, we will have yaqeen, muqinuna bil ijabati, that we will have yaqeen at the way, we will have certainty in the heart of forgiveness, in the same way how he asked us, in the same way as he has instructed us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek, to pray, to make dua. When you make dua, he says, "Ud'u rabbakum," you should ask Allah, "wa antum muqinuna bil ijabati," that you should ask Allah and have firm belief in your heart that Allah will forgive, that Allah will cleanse, Allah will accept your forgiveness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to be hesitant. Allah wants you to ask with full yaqeen, with full certainty in your heart, not to have any hesitancy, that look, that Allah loves to forgive. Once you know that Allah loves to forgive, this is his kindness. This is the kind of Allah who is instructing you. Look at the language we talked about. Look at the language. The language is all of a loving, caring Allah, loving, caring Lord who knows your reactions. He knows your feelings and he's dealing with them point by point. He's looking at every aspect of your heart, and he's saying, I'm taking care of all of this. He's taking care of every aspect of it, and he's controlling the environment. He's giving you i'tikaf. He's giving you the opportunity to have seclusion with him, reciting Quran, to be secluded in his house, to stay in Allah's house for 10 days and ask for forgiveness. If we stand in front of a human being's house for one whole night and beg for something, by the morning their hearts might become soft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamur rahimin. He will not turn us away. So spending time in Ramadan, using this time correctly, not to waste the time of Ramadan. As I said, we don't know if we will live to see another Ramadan. And so to make use of it, to make use of this time, and remember the practice of the Salihin, the practice of the pious people. They used it to polish their hearts, to clean their heart with the recitation of Quran. So don't waste time. You know, the scholars say that idha'atul waqti ashaddu min al-maut, that the wasting of time is even worse than death. And why is that? Because they said that al-mautu yaqta anka ad-dunya wal ahlaha, that the death cuts you off from this world and your family. But wasting of time, idha'atul waqt taqta anka taqta'aka 'an Allahi wal akhirah, that wasting of time cuts you off from Allah and your akhirah. That is what wasting of time does. So not to waste time, to make sure that all these bounties that are available to us are used in the correct way, for our focus on the heart, for the curing of the heart and the training of the heart. In fasting, that training is that every time you feel the pang of hunger or the thirst pushing you to eat something or to drink something, and you remember that Allah is looking at me, I can't do this, but Allah will see me, even if I'm alone at home and there's no one around, I will not eat because my Allah is looking at me. That remembrance, that month-long training should then have an effect on the rest of the year. That consciousness of Allah should build, that taqwa, that sense of knowing that you are going back to Allah. There's no escape. La malja'a wa la manja'a min Allahi illa ilay. You cannot escape from Allah. You cannot get away from this. Keeping and reflecting on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam about this, about the fact that taqwa is in the heart. Taqwa, that, and this is one hadith that I want you to keep in mind, because we're living in a time of fitna where confusion and despair is everywhere. And we often find Muslims trapped in the confusion, challenged by things that are unclear, by gray matters. They say, they end up saying things like, things are not clear. There are multiple opinions. There are difference of opinion. And so I don't know what to do. Some people say this, some people say that. What do you do? And what you must know is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet, did not leave us in this kind of dilemma without a solution to it. He did not leave us without a ruling to follow when we find ourselves confronted with these gray matter issues. His ruling in this is in this hadith, and the hadith is عن نعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحلال بين والحرام بين. That halal is clear and haram is clear. Prohibited and permitted things are very clear what you want. وبينهما متشابهات. And then between them there are some unclear things, the gray areas. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Not very many people know it. Not very people are familiar with the details of it and how to deal with it. And he says that, and here is the ruling of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, how you should act, what you should do if you happen to find yourself in such a situation. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. And the one who avoids the doubtful things, then he has guarded against, he has protected his religion and his honor. He's blameless. So if you accept the ruling, the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is his verdict, that when you are faced with such a thing, then the advice, the ruling, the path that you should take is to protect your deen. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ. And then he goes further to say that if you go into these gray areas, وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, that you will end up in haram. كَالرَّعِي يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى يُشَكُوا أَنْ يَرْتَعَ فِيهِ. That he's saying like a shepherd who takes his animals on the border of the boundaries, he will cross over. فِيهِ أَلَا وَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى. That every king has his boundaries. وَإِنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. And the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his boundary in his kingdom is that maharimhu, the things that he has prohibited. These are his boundaries. Ala wa inna fil jasadi. And then it's come back to our topic. The hadith says, ala wa inna fil jasadi, that there is a piece of flesh. There's an organ in the body. Ala fil jasadi mudghatun. Ala fil jasadi mudghatan. Mudghatan. Ala fil jasadi mudghatan. That verily that there is a piece of flesh, that there is an organ in the body. Idha saluhat, salaha al-jasadu kullu. That if it is sound, then the entire body will be sound. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ, and if it is corrupted, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, and the entire body will be corrupted if it's corrupted. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Verily, it is the heart. Focusing on the heart. This is this word. So finally, this word, these words where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا. The location of the of taqwa is in the heart. Allah cares about your heart, so you should also care about your heart. Fasting in Ramadan is a training in the avoidance of rawagan, in the avoidance of tadabdub, in the avoidance of helter-skelter, touring and frenzy around the world without recognizing, without causing you to forget your direction and your responsibility. Reciting Quran is a curing and a polishing for the heart. And taqwa is the best provision for your journey. And so, what is it? وَعْلَمُ. When you get that best provision, why is this so? Why is taqwa the best provision? Because this Quran, the Quran itself was sent هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ. هُدًى, this book is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book is for the muttaqeen, for people of taqwa. And then he says further, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That know that Allah is with the people of taqwa. Allah is with you. If you have taqwa, if you recognize Allah, if you have Allah in your heart, if you are conscious of Allah, if you know, if you have that sense of journey towards Allah, then وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Know that Allah is with you. And then further we are told for the next life, this glad tiding. The glad tiding is وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعِدَّةٍ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten to forgiveness of the, from your Lord. You know, rush, go, run towards the forgiveness that Allah has for you. Allah has for you, and hasten towards, go forth, rush forth towards the blessing, the Jannah that Allah has for you, the heaven that Allah has created for you, that is vast, that is so vast, as vast as the ardu has samawati wal ard. It's as vast as the heavens and the earth, that is from between the sky and the earth. And then all of this, maghfirah and Jannah, is prepared for whom? U'iddat lil muttaqeen. It is prepared for you. So this Quran is for you. This Quran is for people of taqwa. The Quran and the ma'iyah of Allah, having Allah with you on your side, is also for the muttaqeen. And Jannah is also for the muttaqeen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness in this month of Ramadan, and cure and purify our hearts from the deluge of these worldly pursuits, and train our hearts to have taqwa all times. This is a blessed moment. It's a blessed time that Allah is giving us an opportunity again to change our lives, to change the direction of our lives, to cure our heart, to train our heart. Let's not waste it. Wasting it is where you think, where you misconceive, you misconstrue what the meaning of Ramadan is. What is the meaning of Ramadan? What Ramadan is all about? It is not the equivalent of a festive season that we see others celebrate. It is something special. It is something that is focused on the heart. Allah has sent it to rectify us, to enlighten us, and to revive, to rekindle the beauty of Iman in our hearts. Let us pray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت، خلقتنا ونحن عبادك، ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا، نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا، ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم أسألك الهدى. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك، ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد منه نبيك وعبدك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة يا ربي يا كريم، وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ونعوذ بك من النار يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ونسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. يا إلهي يا إلهي، اللهم اغفر لنا يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا ربي يا كريم. Oh Allah, open our hearts, cleanse our hearts, cure our hearts. Oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us in this Ramadan, ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us and cleanse our heart and train our hearts. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the mercy and the compassion with which you have spoken to us. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the light of Iman and with the light of Yaqeen, with the light of certainty. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the consciousness of you before us. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the consciousness of knowing that you see us, and that in front of you we will stand, and you will confront us on the day of judgment, and we will have to give account for the time spent here. Oh Allah, bless us so that we can cleanse our hearts with Quran, ya Allah. Oh Allah, allow us the opportunity in this Ramadan to polish our heart. Oh Allah, allow us to focus our heart in this Ramadan, ya Allah. Oh Allah, open the bounties that you have blessed this month with into our hearts. open us, open the opportunities that you have placed in this month for us in this month. Open it unto our hearts and make us focus on our hearts, and do not let our habits take us away from benefiting from this month, O Allah. O Allah, make us abandon all the bad habits. O Allah, make us abandon all the bad habits so that it does not continue in Ramadan. Make us change our lives in this month. Make us connect with Quran. O Allah, make us connect with your book, Ya Allah. O Allah, make the polishing of our heart through this Quran that you have sent. O Allah, make it happen this Ramadan. O Allah, we have tried many Ramadan. Make this one the one. Make this Ramadan the Ramadan through which you will polish and change the direction of our hearts and take us on the right direction, without Ramadan, Ya Allah. O Allah, protect us from Ramadan in this Ramadan, Ya Rabbi Ya Kareem. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد آمين 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 يا رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه وآله وصحبه وسلم
جزاك الله خير شيخ
الله يبارك
فيك there was a lot of gems to take from that. You know, seeing Ramadan as a means of spiritual renewal, not just as an isolated month of worship. So may Allah enable us to reach Ramadan and make the most of it. I'd just like to say for everyone else who's still listening, obviously this Ramadan, you know, alhamdulillah, it's the first one that we're going to have, you know, obviously for the people that are still in Oxford, that we'll be able to, you know, share iftar together in the PR and sort of have that sort of community gatherings again. So inshallah, you know, once Ramadan does come, and if we're blessed enough to be able to see it, please do come share iftar together, pray tarawih there. You know, it's a nice community, it's a nice time, especially during Ramadan, the communities get together to share the love with one another and make the most of this Ramadan. So barakallahu fiik, jazakallahu khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, طيب. Remember me in your du'as. For Ramadan Mubarak, kull aamin wa antum bi khair. Please make du'a for me as well. Inshallah. Inshallah, I will try to remember you all in du'a. Inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.